can remember like you two at Soldier Field. It's your tailgate playlist, sports and rock and roll. That camaraderie is alive and kicking right here in the corridor. For sports fans who love smart rock, it's Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
One in five Iowans lives with a disability. A gift to Easter Seals Iowa helps individuals with an intellectual, developmental, or physical disability, autism, or mental illness get the training they need to live, learn, work, and play. Please donate at disabilityia.org today. Easter Seals Iowa, turning disabilities into possibilities. Sponsored by Easter Seals Iowa and aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
A model change is coming for Ford for the 2019 season. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today.
When the sun goes down, the NASCAR stars come out.
Green flag. Seven, 48.
The spring race weekend at Richmond Raceway, back under the lights. April 20th and 21st. The Toyota Care 250 on Friday and Saturday night's Toyota Owners 400. Get your tickets at richmondraceway.com.
Right rear, guys.
NASCAR in Richmond. Some things are better under the lights.
Howdy, folks. It's me, Colonel Sanders. My KFC $20 fill-up includes a whole bucket of delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken, two sides of mashed potatoes and gravy, coleslaw, and four flaky biscuits for just $20. It'll feed four people. And it comes with a free bucket. And every time you use that bucket, you'll be reminded of how delicious that meal was. Now that's value. KFC, it's finger-licking good. At participating KFCs for a limited time. Prices may vary. Tax extra. Extra charge for breast piece and side item substitution may apply. Offer includes 8-piece chicken, 3 large sides, 4 biscuits.
Ford Motor Company announced today that they will introduce the Ford Mustang to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series for the 2019 season. The Mustang made its debut in NASCAR in 2011 in the Xfinity Series and has won the championship every year except for one. The Mustang will be Ford's fourth different model in NASCAR's modern era, joining the Thunderbird.
What are your thoughts on your Brewers through the first couple weeks of the season?
Oh, last night was just ugly. You know, worst team in baseball, and they get shellacked 10-4. The thing with the Brewers, they've had a lot of injuries. Yelich just came off the DL today. Braun's back in the lineup after being day-to-day with back tightness. Eric Thames had to be pulled from the game on Sunday. Pena's on the DL. So I don't think they really had their full offense cooking yet. You take a look at their lineup. Lorenzo Cain is in a horrible slump. Craig Council mentioned this last night after the Reds shellacking, that they didn't think offense would be a worry. You're always concerned about offense. You want us to make sure you get more runs than the other team, but coming in with the way that lineup was stacked, you didn't think offense was going to be the problem for the Brewers. Their starting pitching is also outside of Chase Anderson. Zach Davies has been up and down. Hasn't been worth the money they've invested him yet. Brentster, who pitched last night, who will probably end up being a five starter, you know, an ERA of where it is at 4.87 is not bad. He just had one bad inning. So I think if you're looking him at the back of the rotation, it's not bad. It's just they haven't got into, which same thing for the Cubs and the Cardinals, they just haven't got into their rhythm yet offensively. And I think when they do, it's going to be back to being a three-team race between the Cubs, Cardinals, and Brewers.
It seems like no lead late in the game for the Brewers is safe. How big of a concern is the bullpen so far?
To me, it's a huge concern. It was really for Brewer fans just to see them blow lead after lead after lead in those three games after Knebel hurt his hamstring, especially the one where they had the lead, blew it in the ninth, got a lead in the tenth, blew it in the tenth. I'm kind of curious as to why Council hasn't gone to Jeremy Jeffress. Jeffress was an outstanding closer with the Brewers before they traded him in the Lucroy deal to Texas a couple years ago. I'm really kind of surprised that Council hasn't gone to him. Matt Albers, you know, he's been the heir apparent so far, and he's blown a save, lost the game on a walk-off to Flores on Sunday, and the save that he did convert, that was a struggle. So I'm not quite sure that why they haven't gone to the experienced closer in Jeffress. I think that's what they'll. I think they should. But right now they're using him kind of like a right-handed Josh Hader, who can pitch multiple innings in a spot that they select. And I think that's what Counsell is trying to do. That was his logic between for using Hader the way he is, rather than just anointing him the closer. They want to be able to pick and choose what part of the lineup and what part of the game they use Hader to give him the advantage. And I think they may be doing the same thing with Jeffress. If there's a crucial situation where they need to stop a rally in the fifth or sixth inning, and they can use him for another inning after that, that's when they're going to use him. Personally, me, I like Jeffress as my closer while Knievel's out. But right now, the way they've been using both Hader and Jeffress has been really pretty outstanding. And outside of the ninth inning failures, this bullpen has been a real strength of this team so far.
Ed Krejci discussing MLB with us, works for MLBTradeRumors.com. And you brought up the Cubs and the Cardinals, so let's go ahead and round out the NL Central before we move on. When you look at the Cubs, which one player on that roster are you most concerned about his performance through the early part of the season?
Well, for me, it's going to be Rizzo because he's been hurt with the back. As a hitter, if your back is not 100%, it just affects everything else. And I think right now Anthony Rizzo is the grizzled veteran in that lineup. You can say it's Zobrist and Hayward and that, but I think as far as the veteran presence in the middle of that lineup, it's Rizzo, and I think he's what makes it go. Because if he's not there protecting Brian, it's easier to pitch around Brian. I think Brian is the best hitter in that lineup, but he needs that protection in Rizzo. And if Rizzo's not 100% healthy, he gives him a solid left-handed bat, gives him solid defense at first, and he's a great protection for Brian. So I think if I'm a Cubs fan, what I'm concerned about is the health of Rizzo's back.
What about the St. Louis Cardinals right now? And I thought coming into the season that the pitching staff, namely the rotation and the bullpen, was what kept them out of the playoffs last year, might be an issue. But it looks like the pitching staff has a lot of depth. Adam Wainwright, we'll see what happens with him. But Jack Flaherty's waiting in AAA. Alex Reyes still hasn't come back. And then the bullpen, Luke Gregerson hasn't pitched yet. Bud Norris has been solid. Greg Holland's kind of rounding into shape. The pitching staff looks like it might have a chance to be better than we thought.
And the one you didn't mention was Luke Weaver, who's
yes.
really been impressive with his stint with them in the second half of last season and so far this year. So they've got some interesting young arms with the Cardinals. But I think with them, it's the same thing with everybody else in that division. It's the offense. Osuna is living up to his billing. I had questions about whether or not he could carry an offense in the middle of the lineup, but he has an outstanding hitting streak going right now, and he's been a bright spot for the Cardinals. It's the infield that's still a mess. It was a mess last year, and it's still a mess. They don't know where to put Matt Carpenter. Colton Wong, again, is struggling at the plate. Gerko been hitting okay, but he just came off the disabled list. I like Jose Martinez at first base. They got to put him somewhere to get that bat in the lineup. And, you know, it's going to be, can they figure out who's going to hit and find the right defensive alignment in that infield? Now, with the horrible weather that Major League Baseball has experienced in April, I think it can give most teams a mulligan on their offensive performance. Once the weather starts to heat up consistently, 60s, 70s, 80s, then that's where I think we can get a better test of where everybody's offense is going to be. But right now, I think the problems, you mentioned the starting rotation, the bullpen, that was the Achilles heel. The Cardinals, for me, it was their defense, especially infield defense, and I don't think it's gotten any better this year.
Let's turn our attention to the surprise team of the National League anyway, and that's the New York Mets. They've been absolutely red hot out of the gate, showing what you can do when all of those starting pitchers are healthy. Is your biggest concern there who's going to be handling that pitching staff moving forward with the injuries behind the plate?
Not necessarily. I think right now the two guys they have, Lobatone and Nito, their reputation is defensive. And I think right now when you have Darno and Plawicki on the DL, those guys were their calling card was offense. So I think right now if you're losing your top two catchers, what you want is somebody just to stabilize the rotation, somebody to call a good game, and I think they have that. I think another weapon for this Mets pitching staff is I think they have an outstanding coaching combination and manager Mickey Callaway, who was the pitching coach at the Tribe before he was hired to take over in Queens, and Dave Island, who's the pitching coach. So I think they've got a good 1-2 punch right there, and I think they've got them on a good path. But you hit the key for this Mets rotation. It's going to be health. Can they keep Syndergaard and DeGrom and Mats and Harvey and Wheeler all healthy? If they can, that's a very solid rotation they've got going. Plus Jason Vargas. So that gives you six solid starters you can rotate in and have some really solid depth. And their bullpen has been remarkable so far. It's amazing when they acquired A.J. Ramos from the Marlins last year. He was their closer. Now they're using him in the middle relief. So I think they have a very deep rotation. They have a deep bullpen. And I think that's giving them the edge right now. If they can remain healthy, and that's a big if, because this Mets pitching staff has yet to show that they can get through a season healthy. They're going to be a very tough team to deal with in the NL East. And they're going to give if they can remain healthy, they're going to give the Nationals a big battle throughout the year.
What do you make of Gabe Kapler in the Philadelphia Phillies? So such a bad start that he was booed in Philadelphia on opening day, but since then seems to have righted the ship a little bit.
I think Kapler is going to be one of those. There's high upside, high risk in his hiring. I think anytime you go somebody who hasn't really had a lot of managerial experience, Kapler did coach the Israeli WBC team. But, I mean, as far as in, you know, stateside organized baseball, minors or majors, having that coaching experience, I think, is important. We've seen how it worked out with Osmus, Robin Ventura, the White Sox. It's really kind of a hit or miss deal. And when you're somebody who thinks outside the box like Gabe Kapler, he's very polarizing. You talk to 10 people in the Dodgers organization where he came from prior to being hired as the Phillies skipper, you'll get, 10 different responses on what they thought of him. So it's one of those where you either buy into what Gabe Kapler's selling and you are solidly behind him, or you think he's a kook and you're wondering what the hell is he doing managing one of the 30 baseball teams.
You brought up the Dodgers. As you look at them in the early going, is there the thought that maybe hitting the panic button wouldn't be a bad idea for Dodgers fans at this point?
It's way too early for anybody, unless you're the Rays or the Reds, to be hitting the panic button. I think, again, they ran into a very hot Diamondbacks team. It's amazing when you take a look at it. They had lost double figures, consecutive games to the Diamondbacks, which is really unbelievable considering how good the Dodgers have been for the last year and a half. I think it's the same thing for them when you have their key players hurt, Turner. That hurts a great deal. I just think they just, give them some time to get the offense back going. And I don't think they're that far out of it right now. So I don't know if it's too early to panic. It's way too early to panic when we were just on, income tax filing day. Now, if we're talking Memorial Day or Flag Day, then I think you may want to start, watching out for the Dodger Dogs because they may be coming back up.
You mentioned the Reds. Does Brian Price make it to the end of the season?
I don't think so. I was surprised they brought him back to begin with. I think what Dick Williams in that front office is thinking, we're going to lose, so why, why try to scrounge around for somebody else when you know you're going to be losing 90 to 100 games? So why not just lose to Brian Price? But I think with this horrible start that they've gotten off to right now, I find it very hard to imagine that Brian Price isn't the first managerial casualty of 2018.
Are we looking, moving to the American League here, at a three-team race in the AL West this year? You got the Angels on top at 13-3 with the Shohei Ohtani effect in full blow, but Seattle at 9-5 in second place and the defending World Series champion Houston Astros in third. Is this the year where the Mariners are going to make this a three-team race?
If they get the pitching, they could. I'm not sold on the Mariners pitching. Same thing goes for the Angels pitching. We were talking about the lack of health in the rotation for the Mets. The LA Angels are the New York Mets of the American League. They've had outstanding depth of their rotation on the disabled list. They've had more starters on the DL the last year than they actually had throwing for them. So if they can get and they lost J.C. Ramirez to Tommy John already this year. So if they can keep Richards healthy, if they can keep Heaney healthy, get Tropiano in there, and the rest, Skaggs, if they can keep that rotation healthy, then yeah, they're going to be pretty dominant in competing with the Astros in the West. The Mariners rotation, I'm not sold on yet. Again, it's early, but I see them kind of like we talked about the Pirates. I think the Mariners are the Pittsburgh Pirates of the American League. getting off to a good start. Excuse me. But I think they're going to end up falling back to the pack, competing for a wild card, but for a division title, I think that's going to come down to the Angels and the Astros, because that, speaking of rotations, that Astros rotation is just stock. And that performance that Verlander had over the weekend, Sunday night, I think it was just outstanding. That 1-1 pitcher's duel with Bartolo Colon. So I like the Astros. If they can overcome the deep World Series hangover that seems to afflict teams the year after. But I think right now it's going to be the Astros and the Angels battling for the AL West. And I think if the Mariners can get health in their rotation, I think they'll be knocking on the door for the wild card in the AL.
So let's talk about the Angels for just a second, and in particular, Shohei Ohtani. How impressed are you by what he's doing right now? And if you're managing that team, are you putting him in the lineup more?
I put him in the lineup as much as he's able to be in the lineup. I know that sounds kind of oxymoronic, but the thing that I worry about Ohtani is that the schedule that they had in Japan is a lot easier, a lot lighter when it considers the number of games and the travel than you have here in the States. So you got to be careful on getting him tired out. He needs to adjust, again, to the customs and the culture of the United States. He has to adjust to the rigors of travel in Major League Baseball. So I think Mike Socha really does need to handle him with kid gloves, because he's had an outstanding first 2 weeks of the season, no doubt, unquestionable, especially coming off the horrible spring training that he had. But I think you have to be mindful that this is not a sprint. This is a marathon, 162 game season. And you need to make sure that Ohtani's body adjust to the rigors of this schedule that Major League Baseball has created. So as much as you can put him in the lineup, but again, you have to be mindful that you want to keep him fresh in September and hopefully for a deep October run.
How long before we see Ronald Acuna with the Atlanta Braves? There's been a lot mentioned about his slow start in AAA and whether or not he took that demotion from spring training kind of to heart, and it's affecting his performance. Some people are saying he's bored at AAA and not giving his best effort, but is he the guy that you're most looking forward to seeing in the majors this year make his debut?
I think so. He's one of his top prospects in baseball. Now that Victor Robles has an arm injury with the Nationals, I think Acuna is the one. The stories of him being bored, I think, trouble me. He's a young kid, so that you can cut him some slack on that. But you would prefer that the attitude was, okay, I understand the service time considerations. Let's go back. He can use Chris Bryant as an outstanding role model in that regard. He let his agent pout, but Bryant didn't pout. He went down to AAA, hit well, and then was brought up when the service time considerations weren't a factor. Acuna's the same thing. If he had been tearing up AAA right now, he'd be up with the Braves without a question. Even though Tucker's had a decent start to the season and left, Acuna is the real deal. And if he had been hitting like he's capable in AAA, he'd be up right now. So I think the Braves have the luxury of now they've got past the free agent service time consideration. Now they're kind of playing with the arbitration, the 2-year arbitration, oh, for the life of God, it's blanking on me what the name of it is. So in his hitting, his performance is justified keeping him in the minors. I mean, the Reds are having that same debate right now with Nick Senzel, with Suarez on the DL. Reds fans are clamoring for Senzel to be brought up and put at the hot corner, but the Reds are taking a slow and steady approach to that because they don't see him being their future third baseman after signing Suarez to that extension. They see him more as a middle infielder, and they want to get him his feet wet playing the middle infield because that's where they see his future is going to be. So it's always interesting. It's always a great source of debate among fans when you see these great prospects like Acuna, like Senzel, still in AAA, when you feel that they can help the Major League Ball Club immediately in April.
Last one before we let you go. It may be the most difficult question we've asked you. Miami or Tampa, which team is worse?
I'm going to go with Miami because I kind of like the idea of what the Rays are doing, the Johnny Holstaff approach to their pitching rotation. I think it's an interesting experiment to see if you can actually have tandem pitching at the tail end of your rotation and make it work. the difference between the Marlins and the Rays, I think the Marlins' lack of talent is self-inflicted. And I think the Rays are just a small market team that, you know, they're getting screwed in a stadium situation. So between the two, I'm going to go the Marlins are the worst.
Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com. Always appreciate checking in with you during the baseball season. Thanks a lot.
All right. Stay warm, guys.
Yeah, we're trying. We're trying our darndest here. And I think the weather is going to turn around here sooner rather than later. That Colonel's homestand that starts on Friday night at Veterans Memorial Stadium is the first of seven games. So hopefully Mother Nature will cooperate. We've mentioned that plenty today already, but Scott Unash is going to be pouring beer on Friday night as the Colonels return home from Beloit. Tonight's game postponed. They're going to play a single game tomorrow and then a doubleheader on Thursday. So we're going to have some tired Colonels Friday as they take on the Kane County Cougars for what is scheduled to be Royce Lewis bobblehead night at the ballpark. Those will be highly sought after. I've already looked on eBay. No one is pre-selling them yet the way that they did the Mike Trout bobbleheads a couple years ago, but never put it past anybody to look to make a quick buck. What's the worst type of contract extension you can get? Tim Miles got one today in Nebraska. Tell you what it is when we return after this.
Is the car you're driving 2012 or newer? If so, here's something you need to know. Today's newer engines run hotter, making them more vulnerable to carbon buildup, which could affect engine performance. Protect your engine with new Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic, specially formulated to protect cars built 2012 or newer from carbon buildup. Learn more at modernoil.com. Valvoline, since 1866. Visit AutoZone now. Buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $39.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, game changers. Makes me think of Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Finally, a simple, efficient way to quote home insurance. Let's go to Colin, who will now try to say something.
Okay, first of all, are you kidding? Never in my life. Okay, when you see stuff like this, look, I'm not the only one who thinks this, although everybody says I am.
Well said, Colin. Well said.
Get right to the point with Home Quote Explorer. It's a game changer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
When I walk in the bank, there's two or three people that say, "Hey, Pat. Hi, Pat. How you doing? Thanks for coming in today." That's what makes a person feel special. Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust has made the commitment to me and the other union trades in town to be that union bank.
Is it the "how can we help you" feeling Pat Loeffler and the members of Carpenters Local 308 get every time they stop by Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust?
They've been there for me every single time that I've asked them. It's a hometown feel. You have a place that you can come in to sit down and talk with somebody on a personal level. That means a lot to my members. I work with Brittany, I work with John Rodriguez, I've worked with numerous, you know, people at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust over the years. You're just not another number to them. You're a face and a name. They know you.
Or is it the cookies?
Oh my goodness. I put them in top, at top of the line. I hit their cookie counter before I leave the bank every time.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust. Meet them at peopleyoucanbankon.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Look alive, Coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12, school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents The World's Worst Boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Underlings, I'm sensing some tension between us lately, so I'm proposing a peace offering.
A peace offering?
Yes, by this time tomorrow, you are all expected to give me a peace offering. Gifts, cash, compliments, whatever.
What do we get out of it?
You get to keep working here, if your peace offering is deemed worthy.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Back to the Todd Bromelcamp Show, right here on KGYM.
You gotta stop thinking so negative, son.
Alex, what's the worst type of contract extension you can get? You think contract extension, hey, that's a good idea, they're keeping me around, how could that possibly be a bad thing?
A one-year contract extension,
and that is what Nebraska's Tim Miles received today, now under contract in Lincoln, through the 2020-2021 season. Miles 97-97 in his six seasons as Nebraska's head coach. The one-year contract extension, you basically need to do it for recruiting purposes because you want kids to think that you're still going to be there at the end of their tenure. Give them a little bit of cushion, but it also says we're not quite so sure that you're going to be able to take that next leap forward. They were 22-11 this year. We talked plenty about Nebraska leading up to the NCAA tournament. 22-11, but they didn't really play anybody. They thought they should have been in the tournament. Instead, they go to the NIT, finished with 13-5 record in the Big Ten, fourth place, tied with the Michigan Wolverines, a team that did not only get to the NCAA tournament, but wound up being the runner-up this year, falling short in the national championship game. Would you be concerned if you were Tim Miles? Well, is this a make-or-break year for Tim Miles and Lincoln?
Absolutely. This is Bill Moose's way of doing what Thad Levine and Derek Falvey did with the Twins last year and saying, we're evaluating everything. They've already taken care of the football program. They have their guy in there. They got rid of Mike Riley. They brought in Scott Frost. That's taken care of. They don't have their guy as a basketball coach yet. And Tim Miles did a good enough job last year to at least keep his job for another year. So this is, he gets to the NCAA tournament, he probably returns. If he doesn't, I'm guessing that Bill Moose coming over from Washington State is going to be looking for a new basketball coach.
Here's another sign that maybe things are perilous for Miles in Lincoln. Last week, Kenya Hunter, who's his top assistant, left. And he didn't leave for a head coaching job. He left to be an assistant at UConn on Dan Hurley's staff. So when you have guys that are leaving and making lateral moves, although you can make an argument that going from Nebraska to UConn in men's hoops is actually a step up, that to me is a signal that your staff is kind of starting to look for jobs, look elsewhere, look for that landing spot and getting out ahead of the posse. But who knows? Maybe this is more than just a one-year contract extension for Miles, who will make next season $2.375 million.
You bring up this is good for recruiting purposes.
I didn't say, but you need it's you need necessary it. You need it. For recruiting purposes necessary. Is how I worded it. Yeah.
This is just absolutely food for fodder for the teams to negatively recruit against Nebraska. There's a new athletic director there. Guy's only on a one-year contract. He's gone after this year. Come to our school. That's what's going to happen on the Big Ten recruiting trail for the next year, because I think that coaches and programs can say that to their recruits, and there's a good chance they're going to be right.
Kyle is with us. He's got a big board update. Iowa baseball in action today, taking on Northern Illinois at Duane Banks Field. How are they doing?
I'll tell you. Iowa's coordinator spoke with the media today in Iowa City. Defensive coordinator Phil Parker said that if the Hawkeyes had a game tomorrow, Imani Jones and Aaron Menz would be the inside linebackers, and also that with some good safety depth, they may have some versatility using sub packages. Offensive coordinator Brian Farron said that the offensive line depth is at about 5 or 6 guys right now, but he'd like it to be closer to 7 or 8. He also pumped the brakes on receiver Brandon Smith, saying he's done a good job this offseason, but needs to see production in games. The Iowa baseball team was hosting Northern Illinois in a midweek matchup this afternoon. Trenton Wallace got the start for the Hawkeyes, and they moved pretty quickly. Iowa, that game just went final. Iowa wins 2-0 thanks to RBI by Tyler Cropley and Lorenzo Elon. Jack Dreyer gets the win as the Hawkeyes move to 22-11. Kirkwood has a pretty good team itself with a record of 26-7 and 10-2 in the conference. Today they were ranked number 8 in the newest NJCAA Division II poll. The softball team isn't too shabby either, as they're ranked 3rd with a record of 31-5. The Colonels have played 7 games so far this season, and today marks their 5th postponement, the 3rd in a row and 4th consecutive day off, including a scheduled off day yesterday. They were supposed to begin a 3-game series with the Beloit Snappers today, but will now do so tomorrow, followed by a doubleheader on Thursday. The Twins have had a fair amount of weather-related issues themselves, but they thought they'd be safe in San Juan, Puerto Rico this evening. They've got the Indians, and we're going to join that game in progress after our show on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
Plenty more to get to, including the Cubs and the Cardinals finally starting that series tonight at Wrigley Field after weather prevented them from doing so yesterday. Bad news for one Major League Baseball team, a first-place Major League Baseball team losing a member of its starting rotation, Taiwan Walker of the Diamondbacks, down with a UCL injury. Well, those three letters usually add up to two words. Tommy John. Fingers crossed. He's a nice kid. I got to know him a little bit when he was in the Midwest League, coming up in the Mariners organization. I find him very easy to root for. He's one of those guys the last couple years, fantasy baseball, I want him on my team because I think this is the year that he has the big breakout. And that's just unfortunate because I think it's going to be a while before we see him again on a big league mound. 6:37, quick timeout. When we come back, we will turn our attention to the Cubs and the Cardinals tonight at Wrigley Field. Back with more after this.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. If you want to buy a home, we could help you get a great mortgage that may require as little as 3% down. And we also invented Rocket Mortgage. It gives you a solid approval in as few as 8 minutes. And for 8 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call America's largest mortgage lender at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records, call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Results may vary.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper forwards calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
Stu Gatz here for the Black Tux. For more than a year now, theblacktux.com has been my go-to option for looking great at special events and weddings. Whether you're searching for a stylist-selected outfit or building a custom look, the Black Tux has tons of new suits and tuxedos that'll make you stand out for the right reasons. To score $20 off your purchase, it's simple. Visit theblacktux.com/Dan. That's theblacktux.com/Dan for $20 off your purchase. The Black Tux, premium rental suits and tuxedos delivered.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Let's keep that on the down low. It's not exactly street legal.
All right, Alex, Cubs-Cardinals tonight, Wrigley Field. They were supposed to get the series underway yesterday. I want to know, if you could take one player off of the Cubs for the Cardinals, just one player, fill an area of need, solidify the Cardinals lineup, who would you take?
Oh, that's easy.
319-366-1600.
It's Chris Bryant. I think that as Ed put it, the infield defense right now is the biggest question mark. You have Jose Martinez at first base strictly because he's a good hitter. He's never really played first base in his minor league career, and he kind of struggles over there. You don't know where to put Matt Carpenter because the Cardinals are sold on Colton Wong, who's not hitting, and so they put him at third base, and he doesn't have a strong enough arm to throw the ball over to first base. So you're telling me that I can add one of the best hitters in the game and a solid third baseman in there? I think that's the easy answer, because I look at the roster right now, and on paper, the Cardinals are looking a little bit better than a lot of us thought. I think it's still early, but the offense has a chance to be much better. It's going to be hot and cold. There's no question about that. There's a lot of swing and miss in there, but it's going to be much better than it was last year. The bullpen is going to be much better than it was last year, and there might not be a huge drop-off with the starting pitching. So solidifying that infield defense with one of the best players in the game would be the easy answer.
I'm going to get crucified for this, probably deservedly so, but I would take Dexter Fowler back in a heartbeat to be the everyday center fielder and leadoff man for the Cubs, because they have not been the same without him at the top of the lineup. And Joe Maddon continues to search in vain for a leadoff hitter. Now, there are better players on the Cardinals. I would absolutely...
Tommy Pham?
I like Pham. I would absolutely be over the moon to steal Carlos Martinez. You know I like Jordan Hicks. There are better players I could give an answer to, but if I'm fixing a hole, if I'm filling a need, I take Dexter Fowler in a heartbeat. I put him at the top of the lineup, and I say, you go, we go. But you know me. I'm a sentimental guy, and I'm a big Dexter Fowler fan, and it still kills me to have to root for him when he's in a Cardinals uniform, and I do root for him. I will not be rooting for him tonight. Tyler Chatwood gets the start for the Cubs, and Adam Wainwright going for the Cardinals. Vintage Adam Wainwright tonight against the Cubs. No. Does the rivalry bring out? No?
No. I think that what Cardinals fans are going to expect out of Adam Wainwright is him getting through five or six innings, giving up three or four runs, and laboring to do so. His velocity is down. His location hasn't been quite as good. You're not going to see vintage Adam Wainwright, who used to pump 93, 94 with pinpoint location and had a really good curveball. Now he kind of spins it up there. So if he can reinvent himself by the second half of this season, I will be very surprised. I hope he does. I wouldn't be opposed, as you said, Todd, to move him to the long man in the bullpen if he can't get things under control. But I will say this for the Cubs in this series, the pitching matchup set up pretty favorably for the Cubs. The Cardinals will not have, I don't think the Cardinals will have Martinez. It will be Wainwright, Waka, and I'll have to look that up here in a second. I had seen the projected pitching matchup for the third game, and I'm blanking on it right now, of course.
I don't think back issues are contagious, but the Cubs have activated Anthony Rizzo off the DL, and they've scratched Ben Zobrist from the lineup tonight due to back tightness. Issues. Must have been those beds. Anthony Rizzo says it was the beds in Cincinnati on the Cubs' most recent road trip that led to his back issues. So maybe Ben Zobrist had a bad bed at the hotel as well. Give me your pick to click tonight. If the Cardinals win, who's the guy who's driving the bus?
Marcell Ozuna. I think he's going to get introduced to this rivalry pretty well. He's a guy that is really stabilized the lineup. They finally have a guy. It's Luke Weaver, by the way, who's pitching game two and Waka game three.
It's the second time tonight you blanked on Luke Weaver.
I don't know what it is, why he's not so memorable. Everybody remembers Flaherty, and people forget about Luke Weaver, although he's had a really good start. But can Adam Wainwright avoid his early game gopher balls? And that's been the issue for him. He gives up runs early, and the strike zone's been big for or the strike zone has been a big talking point for him. He got squeezed in his first outing, and he really struggled. He needs a bigger strike zone to where he can get maybe an inch off the corner on both sides of the plate for him to succeed. And this Cubs lineup can feast on mislocations, and that's been an issue for Adam Wainwright so far this season and going back to last year as well. What about for the Cubs? Who clicks for the Cubs?
I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit here, and I'm going to take Anthony Rizzo coming back off the disabled list, who
always has killed the Cardinals.
Needs to get it going, but Adam Wainwright against Rizzo, I'll take my chances there. I would have said Zobrist had I not realized he was scratched from the lineup tonight due to the back issues. We talked to Jesse Rogers yesterday from ESPN 1000 in Chicago. It is going to be interesting to see how Joe Maddon juggles the lineup moving forward as Zobrist is looking like his old self, like last year is a little bit of an aberration there. And you play the hot hand, and he's hot right now. He's hitting the ball. Now, luckily, he's also versatile enough that you can put him at a couple different spots in the lineup, but he's not playing tonight due to the back issue. So we'll see how things progress with this series. I think it's going to be a fun one. I have 15 minutes to make up my mind here. Currently, Adam Wainwright on my bench in my fantasy baseball league. Would you run the risk of starting him against the Cubs tonight, or do you think I'm making the right call in skipping his start?
I know you're doing it for
better question,
for sentimental reasons.
The better question is, why do I have Adam Wainwright on my team to begin
correct.
With?
Correct. I was going to ask you that question, but instead of that, I think you're making the right decision.
Because if he transitions to the bullpen,
I think we're
then he has value on this particular team.
We're going to see a pretty high scoring game tonight.
Calling for high scoring at Wrigley Field tonight between the Cubs and the Cardinals. 319-366-1600. Twins and Indians underway at Hiram Bithorn Stadium in Puerto Rico. The island of Puerto Rico hosting the Twins and the Indians. This is a big game for that island as it continues to recover from Hurricane Maria. Francisco Lindor, the starting shortstop for the Indians, a Puerto Rico native, immensely, immensely popular there in his home country. And then Jose Berríos, I believe, still lined up to start one of those games for the Twins against the Indians in Puerto Rico. They are still trying very, very hard to recover from that storm. And I got an absolutely heartbreaking note back in the mail a couple weeks ago from a former Major League Baseball player who lives in Puerto Rico, who referred to the treatment of Puerto Ricans as second-class citizens, and it broke my heart. But my wife's cousin has been working. He's a lineman for not the Wichita lineman. That's a Glenn Campbell song. But he's a lineman for a power company, and he's spent a great deal of his time the last several months in Puerto Rico trying to repair and get many of these smaller cities there and towns back on the grid. And, I mean, we're talking months after the fact, and that country is still not back up and running yet. And it's not good. And so hopefully this series with the Twins and the Indians can raise some awareness for folks here stateside that things are still not where they need to be in Puerto Rico, which is an American territory. Those are American citizens that are watching that game tonight. And we'll see how things go for the Twins. We'll join up the broadcast 107.5 FM in about 10 minutes after we step aside tonight. Coming up on the program tomorrow, the birthday edition of the program. I expect many, many gifts. I expect to be feted by all of our guests. And we've got Tyler Cropley of the Iowa baseball team. Hawkeye is a winner today over Northern Illinois at Duane Banks Field. So they get ready to bring a little momentum north with them to the Twin Cities. It's probably going to be touch and go. I don't know. The Gophers used to play their games indoors at the Metrodome, and that's not an option anymore. So we'll see whether or not they're able to get the majority of those games in. But the Hawkeyes taking on number 25 Minnesota this weekend, and we'll see how Rick Heller's squad will do. We'll talk with Tyler Cropley coming up on the program tomorrow. Plus, you got a $30 gift card to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. We're going to make people play for it, though, inside the 6 o'clock showdown. Uh-oh, breaking news.
And it's not good news. You mentioned this yesterday, that this would be coming shortly. This was more than likely going to be coming shortly, but First Lady Barbara Bush has died at the age of 92.
Well, that's terribly sad. I saw a report earlier today that she was suffering from COPD. And I saw a report earlier today, her family had gathered with her, I believe they were in Kennebunkport, Maine, and they said that she was having difficulty breathing, but she was in good spirits, and she was talking with her family, and she was having a bourbon. And I thought, that's a hell of a way to go. When I go, and it may be soon, it may be quite a while from now, I want my family around me. I want to be in relatively good spirits, and I wouldn't mind having a glass of bourbon in my hand. That is, I don't care. Right, left, she's a fine woman, good representative of the United States. Tough loss. 6:51, we'll step aside and take our last break. When we come back, Kyle's going to give you a big board, and then we will join up, at least on 107.5 FM, with the Twins and the Indians from Puerto Rico tonight. Back after this.
With spring here, it's time to start thinking about getting out the mower and cutting the grass. And Landon is here from Menards to give us some tips on lawnmower maintenance. What's first, Landon?
The first thing you'll want to do is disconnect the spark plug wire. We don't want any accidents to happen. Second, we'll change the oil and remove and replace the air filter. And also, while the spark plug wire is off, we'll change the spark plug too.
Sounds pretty easy so far. Is there anything else?
Yeah, we'll also want to take the blade off and get that sharpened. If it looks like it's taken a beating and sharpening wouldn't do you any good, it will need replaced. Menards has a great selection of lawnmower blades if you are in need.
Anything else?
If you pull your mower out and see that it's time for a new one, Menards has everything from push reel mowers to riding lawnmowers to fit your needs.
Thanks, Landon. You can find all of your lawnmower needs at Menards. And as always, if you have any questions, talk to a friendly team member.
Save big money at Menards. Cedar Rapids Colonels, that the good times roll.
This Friday at the Colonels, don't miss our first bobblehead giveaway of the season. The first 1,000 fans get a free bobblehead of the 2017 first overall draft pick by the Twins, Royce Lewis. Visit Colonels.com and get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Hey, hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind, in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Celery stalks! Get your celery stalks and iceberg lettuce here!
Nobody wants that!
I've got lukewarm tap water!
Why?
Baseball's no-brainer. Hot dogs and beer. Barbasol's no-brainer. Finally making razors to go along with America's favorite shaving cream. Introducing Barbasol's Ultra 6 Plus Razor with six ultra-thin blades for a close, comfortable shave. Enter for a chance to win an MLB All-Star Game experience. Visit Barbasol.com.
Is the car you're driving 2012 or newer? If so, here's something you need to know. Today's newer engines run hotter, making them more vulnerable to carbon buildup, which could affect engine performance. Protect your engine with new Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic, specially formulated to protect cars built 2012 or newer from carbon buildup. Learn more at modernoil.com. Valvoline, since 1866. Visit AutoZone now. Buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $39.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Wow. It's kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
Final couple minutes of the program tonight. A big thank you to Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register. You can read his work at hawkcentral.com. He helped recap today's media availability with Phil Parker and Brian Ferentz in Iowa City. We played you a little bit of the highlights of what Brian Ferentz had to say. We will do the same tomorrow with Phil Parker. And he touched on a number of up-and-coming names that maybe Hawkeye football fans aren't familiar with today, but they could become acquainted with them on Friday at the open practice and certainly during the 2018 season, which it's hard to believe, but it's just over, 118 days away or something like that. I saw somebody hit a countdown on it earlier today. Kyle is with us in the studio. He's got your final big board update of the night.
Iowa's coordinator spoke with the media today in Iowa City. Defensive coordinator Phil Parker said that if the Hawkeyes had a game tomorrow, Imani Jones and Aaron Menz would be the inside linebackers, and also that with good safety depth, they may have some versatility using sub-packages. Offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz said the offensive line depth is at about 5 or 6 guys right now, but he'd like it closer to 7 or 8. He also pumped the brakes on receiver Brandon Smith, saying he's done a good job this offseason, but needs to see some production in games. The Iowa baseball team hosted Northern Illinois in a midweek matchup this afternoon. Trenton Wallace got the start for the Hawkeyes, and Iowa won 2-0 thanks to RBI by Tyler Cropley and Lorenzo Elon. Jack Dreyer gets the win as the Hawkeyes move to 22-11. Kirkwood has a pretty good team itself with a record of 26-7 and 10-2 in the conference, and today they were ranked number 8 in the newest NJCAA Division II poll. The softball team isn't too shabby either, as they showed up third with a record of 31-5. The Colonels have played 7 games so far this season, and today marks their 5th postponement, the 3rd in a row and 4th consecutive day off, including a scheduled off day yesterday. They were supposed to begin a 3-game series with the Beloit Snappers today, but they're now going to do that tomorrow, followed by a doubleheader on Thursday. And then after the show, we're going to have the Twins and the Indians from San Juan, Puerto Rico. You can hear it on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Ooh, a snapper. Very tasty.
Don't go for what's in the box. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Which pretty much sums up most of today's program as well. Join us tomorrow, a special birthday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. There will be cake. I can't eat it, and neither can you, but these guys will get to enjoy some. Thanks for listening. Tune in tomorrow.